Tuesday, November 7th. President got into some discussion early this morning about the reaction to the TV last night. He says Mignola thought it was the best that the president's ever done on television. This was the election eve tape that we produced yesterday. Mignola's point was that the president was talking only to me and that that's the best way for him to talk on television. That led the president to the need to look at the documentaries and put together one really good hour documentary on foreign policy, on the breakthrough for peace. He got into a lot of miscellaneous political items, checking on whether we've got all our get-out-the-vote stuff going. The need for a game plan tonight on calls for him to receive and calls to make. Needs to determine what he should do. Wanted to be sure we got the letters to contributors and the mementos out. He'll spend part of the time in the Lincoln Room tonight. And is not sure exactly how he'll go at using his time through the evening. On the plane going back to Washington, he got into a sort of review on personnel and the cabinet. The question of what John Connally thinks of Roy Ash and what we can use him for. He wants Chappie James as his military assistant, thinks that's an ideal place to put a black in a high White House spot. Wants to put a Catholic VFW man in the Veterans Affairs. I raised the point with him in this conversation because it seemed to be the right time that I thought he ought to seriously consider letting Ehrlichman and me resign and get a complete new posture as far as the close-in White House staff is concerned. He obviously has to keep Henry for a while because of the ongoing foreign policy activity, but the case that he would be better off changing John and me. He didn't buy it, and I rather suspected that he wouldn't. But it was a good idea to have raised it. He makes the point, I made the point, that both of us are tarnished, not just the campaign scandal question, but more importantly, the problems of isolation of the president, riding roughshod on Congress and on the press and so on, and that he could clean a lot of that up by changing us. He made the point that from his side, some of us were essential to stay on, and that John and I would be in that category, that he wouldn't be able to function with new people in those jobs where he can and some others, and therefore it's worth paying the price of the negatives, which he said he had thought about and recognized the validity of the points I was making. He did say that he thought Flanagan was one for whom it was not worth paying the price, and also that Chapin fell in that category, and that both of them would have to go. We got into quite a broad general review of personnel, cabinet, staff, and so on. His feeling as to what he wants to do, which generally sorts out that he's ambivalent to a degree, at least about Rogers, as to whether he'll keep him or not, although he realizes he shouldn't. Is inclined to think now that he should keep Kleindienst along the lines of McGregor's recommendation, and he's interested in considering Rush or maybe Rockefeller for defense. Doesn't really know what he wants to do at State if he does let Rogers go. Thinks maybe we can keep Butts in agriculture. Should drop, definitely drop Hodgson in labor and bring in a Catholic Democrat labor man for that post. Of course, Romney is going anyway. He wants to force Volpe out. He's somewhat ambivalent about Rog Morton. Can't quite decide whether he should stay or not. And definitely feels Peterson should go at Commerce because he just doesn't feel comfortable with him or trust him. he was satisfied that we were getting ready to move on that whole project, and seems to be willing to leave that to us for follow-up at Key Biscayne after the election. We got back to the White House. All the staff were out to greet the president on the steps, and it was quite a cheery thing after the long flight across the country. The president went right to the residence and had dinner with the family. And we got set up for the election night processing. Unfortunately, we totally over-organized on data processing and analysis, and totally under-organized for just getting the simple returns in a form that we could get them to the president quickly and understandably. One of the first losers of the evening was Louis Nunn in Kentucky, and the president couldn't believe it. Wanted to call in to him, but Nunn confirmed that he would lose. The president then said, this was early in the evening, that we'd have to postpone the departure tomorrow for Key Biscayne until 4:30 because he'd had a funny thing happen after dinner tonight. An old bridge that he had fallen out and he'd lost a tooth. So he's going to have to go to the dentist at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning and again at 1 o'clock to get the bridge replaced. He was surprised as evening went on at the loss of Fletcher Thompson in Georgia, the closeness in Rhode Island and ultimate loss, and the question of how we were doing in Wisconsin. As he called me from the residence and I worked in my office, I could hear his Victory at Sea record playing loudly in the background. He was amazed at the losses in Maine, some of those, and delighted with Bartlett picking up Oklahoma. Was, of course, mainly interested in how the presidential thing was going, which was sensational. He had Colson and me come over to the EOB where he had gone about midnight. He had us join him over there at about 1:30. And that time he called Hubert, returning Hubert's call, and they had a long chat regarding Hubert's attitude towards the president and national security, etc., versus McGovern's. Appeared to be quite a friendly conversation. He was concerned about how we answer the question of losing the House and Senate. Was particularly interested in an analysis of California and the breakdown there, but we couldn't find anybody. They were all out celebrating, so we had a terrible time trying to get through to get that, and finally did. Along about 2 in the morning, or maybe it was 2:30, he suggested that we ought to have some bacon and eggs, so we ordered them up from the White House mess, and the three of us ate bacon and eggs, and they finally brought us some toast and some milk. After that, we chatted a little bit about the general reaction of the returns, and then went on to bed. I didn't get it actually home and in bed until 4 o'clock this morning. The president did do his 2 speeches, although there was some debate about that earlier in the evening. He told me right up to concession time at 11:30, or whenever it was, that he didn't think he would do the Oval Office speech, that it wasn't a very good idea. But at the last minute he said, well, if you think I should, I will. And he went ahead and did it before going over to the Shoreham. Afterwards, he, in thinking back, thought it was probably a good idea, and Trish and Julie both told him it was a superb idea, so I got credit for coming up with one good one, which was actually Chapin's idea, or his thinking group. End of November 7th.